Hi everybody, today's Wednesday, July 9th, 2025, and our friend Andrei Martyanov is back with us. Welcome back, Andrei.
My pleasure.
We haven't had the opportunity to talk about the 4th of July. And let's start with that. We have a lot to talk about today, about BRICS, the new sort of attitude of Donald Trump. But before getting there, when it comes to the 4th of July, Andre, it was somehow the United States liberating itself from the imperialism. And when you see that the United States is going in the same direction as the British Empire was in those days, and how do you see the changes, these changes that has happened in the aftermath of the liberation of the United States, the independence of the United States? Why they came to this sort of situation that we're in with the United States?
Well, founding fathers would have been appalled observing today what is happening, you know. But then again, we have to also make an adjustment for the time, their time, and what they were trying to accomplish, obviously. They believed in the Republic, you know, and this is what is enshrined in the obviously Federalist Papers, you know, John Jay, James Madison, you know, all writing about how, you know, what Republic is, why it's so important, things like that. But the problem is, of course, centuries passed and the United States degenerated into empire, because this is the only way it can exist. This is the only way American capital can exist. And in this case, we have to go back not to the founding fathers, who, again, would have been appalled by what they would see today, what is happening to the United States. But we have to go to Lenin and his fundamental article. Well, not article, it's actually the work, which is called "The Imperialism as the Highest Phase of the Development of Capitalism," where it says that, yeah, the thing which starts immediately after they reach this phase is what? Export of the of the capital outside, industrial capital, and complete financialization of the economy. And in this case, that structure, which is the political economic structure, which we observe today in not only in the United States, but also in the in Europe, for example, it can exist only through the imperial, expansion. Otherwise, it's dead in the water, because this is the method of the production of or producing the so-called value. But United States doesn't produce much value anymore in this respect. And as a result, we see what is happening, you know, the tariffs, wars, and the idiotic behavior. And because you can print money, but you cannot produce things which are real, tangible values. You have to produce things which are, of course, what? You have to build, you have to produce industrial plant, you have to really improve the life of people by means of real technologies. You know, how about, you know, finally finding the cure for the cancer? Russians found it, actually. It's their vaccine against cancer, and they're actually treating now the fourth stage cancer, metastasized cancer. So this is like, oh my God. But no, you have to constantly produce something which is virtual, like iPhones, you know. It's the same crappy smartphone as any other, you know, with just couple more whistles. And so you constantly drive people to this, which is called conspicuous consumption, and consumption in general, that eventually it breaks down mental health of the nation. Because at some point of time, when you live in the debt, because that's the only thing they can produce, debt, they issue cheap credit. Now they cannot issue the cheap credit. Suddenly, what do you have? You have the nation which lives in the trillions upon trillions of the debt in the credit cards and all kinds of other things like mortgages and things like that. So this is not value. This is killing of the economy, you know. And so as a result, what you have, that's what you have. And then, of course, everything else just pulls, you know, after itself. For example, like I'll give you an example. The U.S. Navy. And I understand, from the pure formal logic, it's understandable. Oh, U.S. Navy has to constantly control the shipping lanes of communications because the United States does the trade, which it does, no problem with that. But the point is, how much United States imports today? It imports practically everything. Go to any Walmart, go to any, you know, Costco. It's all made somewhere, China, Southeast Asia, You know, and you look at those things, and of course they have to have the Navy, which are very much, you know, strained trying to keep those shipping lanes or communications open, allegedly against somebody, I don't know, China, which will for some reason decide to, you know, kill their goose, which bears their golden eggs and things like that. It's like, okay, you know, so and that's how it coalesces into this thing until it begins to consume itself. And we are at the stage that the combined West is over. The imperialism, as the way they saw it, is over, because now you cannot just run, you know, a couple of the battleships, you know, with their 16-inch guns and start, you know, shelling the capital of some, you know, shore or seashore country. Suddenly people can get cruise missiles, anti-shipping cruise missiles, or they can, like Houthis did. You saw yourself what Houthis have done. So, yeah, and that's when it begins to implode on itself, and in the end, well, everything becomes with the complete decomposition of the moral and political abilities of the political elite. Yeah, there's no Epstein list, nothing. They were about to publish it, but it doesn't exist now. And yeah, Mr. Epstein, yeah, as Tucker Carlson correctly stated, we have to now apologize to his spirit now, because obviously the guy was absolutely innocent. Yeah, so that's what we get. This is the result. This is how they managed to kill the country, which is the United States, in the last 30 years, especially, you know, accelerating after 9/11. And this is when the whole hell, you know, broke loose. And we see those, and again, look at the elites in the West. This is pathetic. It's just, it's pedophile central, all kinds of their deviances, all kinds of no humanity, no morality, nothing. Complete decomposition. It's a human sewer.
Andre, Donald Trump is somehow, last week we learned that the United States is going to stop sending weapons to Ukraine, and they're not interested in sending more weapons. We were talking about Europeans may escalate. They're talking about drones and all of these things. But yeah, what is happening in the United? You live in the United States. You deal with these issues within the society there. What's going on? What's happening that Donald Trump every time comes out and says something different? And right now he's talking about somehow he's so much concerned about Ukrainian people, he wants to send more weapons to help them, which we know the outcome would be killing more Ukrainians, is not less Ukrainian. Here is what he said before commenting on that.
Yeah. Andre.
More weapons to Ukraine?
We're going to send some more weapons. We have to. They have to be able to defend themselves. They're getting hit very hard now. They're getting hit very hard. We're going to have to send more weapons. Your defensive weapons, primarily, but they're getting hit very, very hard. So many people are dying in that mess.
Yeah. The guy shows that he's so much concerned about what's going on in Ukraine. But why, if you're concerned, why are you not doing something substantial, something important to put an end to the conflict instead of sending more weapons, as we saw with the Biden administration, as we know how did it work out for Ukraine so far?
I believe it was 4 months ago when I stated that it is his war now. Nothing he can do about it. He's Trump, and the fact is he is not coherent. And as the one of the main traits of the narcissists, especially the high-level narcissists, you know, the extreme or close to the extreme cases, is the fact that they need to live in this alternative universe. They do create alternative universe for themselves where they are perceiving themselves as great and controlling, you know, the whole universe and things of this nature. So, and it's his war now. He thought that he could, his peace deal sounds horrible in Russian. It was always about, you know, United States somehow getting something for the United States, you know, remove it from what United States is, instigator and the party to this conflict. And it is being mauled, all its, you know, weapons and advice. And so he thought that he can pull it off. He thought that, well, Putin is naive because he thinks himself to be so shiny. He probably dazzles everybody, you know, dazzles, and people just are in awe from Donald Trump. And when he encountered the real statesman, who is the head of the superpower, which can wipe off the United States, or wipe the United States off the map, suddenly, of course, he's frustrated. And as a result, apart from other things which are happening now, he lives in this alternative universe where he's great and he thinks he can. He doesn't understand the nature of the war. He has zero understanding of the warfare. And as a result, we see, yeah, we are discussing here, basically. We are trying to comment on the asylum, okay? And it's like, yeah, how do you comment on the asylum when we all see what is happening, including the latest from CNN yesterday? Kremlin actually was very ambivalent about it. Said, oh, yeah, it could be AI. But I think so. It's not AI. I think it's the real deal. And he was just inventing things, you know? He was trying to portray himself as the tough guy. Well, in reality, he's increasingly becoming a clown. As Turkish, and it's not just Turkish, it's pretty much, you know, medieval proverb that once there are, you know, the clown moves into the palace, he doesn't become a king. The palace becomes a circus. This is exactly what we're observing now. And the United States is essentially demilitarized. And that's what I've been talking about for years now, for 3 years. The main task of Russia is not to beat the, well, which she already did, out of Ukraine and whatever it was, the demilitarization of NATO. And NATO is demilitarized. And now we have some numbers, which United States probably below quarter of the required. And again, it's American calculation on the required air defense. That means what? You cannot take it seriously anyway, because they think that Patriot is awesome system. It's actually expensive junk primarily. And so when you look at this, it's just like, how can I comment on this? There is no logical method, because you are dealing with a man who does things on the whim. And the only thing he does is being first. He's controlled, evidently he's controlled by Israel. He is completely subordinated, you know, to Israel and all his ideas and everything. So, and he doesn't have time to deal with the issues for the America, which is not doing that well, I mean, so to put it mildly, okay? And how you can comment on somebody who is, well, maybe some people call it schizophrenic. It's pretty much bordering on the mental disorder, because once you become extreme narcissist, which Trump always was, but now it developed and exacerbated itself over the years, he is, as men can stated, that at some point of time, we will have the White House will be adorned by the downright moron, and that's what we have.
He's talking about sending, I think so far they're talking about 10 Patriot systems to be sent to Ukraine.
No, 10 Patriot systems, 10 missiles.
10 missiles.
Yeah, where will they get those 10 systems? From who?
Is it coming from Israel?
No. I mean, he has Israel interest, obviously. It's his main interest. But no, the United States doesn't have 10 systems. If we're talking about 10 batteries, which United States ran out of their Patriots a long time ago, and still, Ukraine still has some Patriots, primarily concentrated around Kyiv, which they cannot really basically turn them on high voltage, because I mean, the moment they will be turned on, you know, they will be detected. They operate only out of ambush and using their actually civilian air traffic radar, which is, of course, reduces their efficiency dramatically. And so, no, you're talking about 10 missiles, not 10 systems. So there's, you know, Guardian broke this news. United States is down only, as they said, 25% of required air defense missiles. So, yeah, make your own conclusions. It's we don't know the real number. It's probably much lower than 25%. So that means what? They're scraping the bottom of the barrel. Even if you have system, I mean, what's the what's good is the gun if you don't have the rounds to it, you know? So you, if you don't have bullets, so there you go.
How can they, if they want to change the battlefield in favor of Ukraine, is there any possibility for them, Andrei, in terms of, we know that the manpower is not something to be easily repaired and easily being improved in a short time, because they have the training system, all of these things that should happen in, that should happen before sending the weapons, and the integration of these weapons, Andrei, during the war in Ukraine, we've learned that many of these weapons, they're sending them, they don't know how to use it. The combination of all these weapons coming from Germany, the United Kingdom, the United States, how they can integrate the whole system together. Is that of concern, after all, for the United States? Or they're
somehow
testing their weapons, they're seeing that what would happen continuing the conflict?
No. I mean, they tried. Again, I am on record. You can, and I'm on record for the last 38 months. There never was any chance. Even if the U.S. Army would have been deployed there, there would have been no chance. It would have been destroyed within probably and sustained catastrophic losses within the probably couple of months. The issue here is not that. There's no way you can change the outcome. You can change some tactical, you know, minutia thing, you know, somewhere on some sector, which probably gonna last for two, three hours. And after that, it's as I already stated, the issue there is the demilitarization of the NATO. And again, they came with the knife to the gunfight. Okay, they came with the table of equipment and organization and doctrinal and operational views from 1990. They have nothing to, they have no reference points other than this, you know, ridiculous thing which they constantly, you know, grasp at, which is, of course, the Gulf War. This is, wasn't Gulf War. This was beating the crap out of the one of the most retarded militaries in the world. You know, you just, you know, Saddam's army was, it's pathetic. But point is, you cannot fight combined arms operation in the 2025 with what United States has and can produce, as little as it can. So it's just, yeah, it's complete different generation. It's akin that if you go against with the 1812 type the military organization against the World War One army with the machine guns, heavy artillery with the ranges which exceed anything you can you know, put on the battlefield, guess from three times who's gonna win. So there you go. You will continue to do this idiotic linear tactics, you know, throwing those, you know, rank and files, going marching on the field to be just mowed down by the machine gun fire. So yeah, it's, that's how it is. Many people do not understand what I wrote four books about. The United States lost the arms race, and it lost not like, oh yeah, we're 2-3 years behind. No, we're talking about generations of the weapons. And you saw yourself, and Iran also quite well demonstrated what air defense of the United States and Israel, which is still United States air defense, is. It's not good. I'm sorry, you know, and what can I say? And here you're looking at the warfare, the front line, which is about, well, about 1,000 miles long. And you have the intensity of operations never seen since the start, since the World War II. So there you go. That's what we have. And so they still thought that they can fight this war. They can't. They don't even have operational experience, and they don't have the ability to operationally plan it. Because if you do not know how to plan the operation, you might as well dissolve this army, because it's not going to be fighting as the professional force. It will be just, and the only way they think in Pentagon and NATO are templates. They do not understand the nature of the conflict, and they believe in their own BS, which they, you know, they drank their own Kool-Aid. As the result, we saw everything we needed to see. Their turning point was 2023 so-called counteroffensive, after which you just scratch your head and said, ah, that's what it is. Yeah. After that, basically, the demilitarization of NATO continued, and it's probably will continue for a while until they are completely done. And there some political change, for example, in Europe may be you know, initiated. I doubt it. They will beat them into submission utterly, because those people in Europe and their elites, they're genocidal maniacs, so they don't care. So, and but, you know, we'll see. You know, in the end, it's all about the dissolution of NATO, and with it, European Union is essentially economic manifestation of NATO. After that, we'll see where it all goes.
Here in Germany, they're talking about that Germany may need 10,000 military vehicles. And for what purpose, in your opinion? Germany is not at war with Russia. Germany is not in a direct war with Russia. Why do they need it? I think these raises many concerns on the part of Russians, why they behave this way. They're supporting Ukraine to attack Russia. It's an act of war against Russia. But after all, it seems, Andre, that we every time we talk about this attitude on the part of Germany, I think it's much more important the way that they're trying to do everything in Germany, is considering the history I'm talking about. How dangerous is the situation with Germany? Do you feel that German government would go in that direction, in the direction of escalation?
Well, they can say those things. Germany doesn't have industrial capability and R&D capability to produce modern weapons. It's all backward. It's stuck in 1990s. So you saw yourself what happens with their best tanks. They burn like candles. They will continue to burn. But again, it's not just government. Majority of Germans, again, I don't know the percentage. I don't know, but majority. It could be 55, it could be 80% of Germans. With the exception of the protest vote for the AfD, Alternative for Germany, which is primarily in the former German Democratic Republic, which is protest vote primarily. But majority of the Germans, they hate Russians. They hate them for simple reason that Germany never recovered for the utter destruction by the Red Army of the Wehrmacht. And, you know, you do not recover from that kind of the defeat, which is essentially extremely well documented, you know. And then it begins to live in the history of the nation. Scratch any German politician, you will have what? Either SS or Wehrmacht relative. And, yeah, look, Annalena Baerbock, look at von der Leyen. She is a fanatical genocidal maniac. So, and for them, they hate Russian gods. They do. They never recovered from this. Of course, they were also helped along the way with the United States and British and French when they brainwashed them completely into, you know, this thing. And, yeah, so, and now they look at Russians and be like, oh, yeah, you don't give us, you know, cheap, hydrocarbons and things of this nature. Well, you didn't want to, so, well, bye-bye. They Europeans generally, not all, again, make no mistake, I am making this disclaimer. I'm sick and tired from this. Oh, yeah, don't equate us with our governments. I don't equate everybody, but majority of Europeans, they look at Russians as the subhumans. You know, it was always like that, and World War II was a direct proof of that. So, and in this case, what can I say? They can go whatever direction they want, but if they go a little bit too far, then you know what? They might lose Berlin once and for all, together with other remaining, which are going to disappear anyway, naturally, industrial areas, and that will be it for Germany. You know, Russia can turn Germany into the parking lot even without nuclear weapons, okay? So, I mean, if they exercise any idiotic idea with the Bundeswehr is a joke, okay, as is, you know, pretty much Luftwaffe. I don't know how they can do it. And again, look attentively at the industrial dynamics in Germany. It is deindustrializing with the incredible speed, okay? When incredible, it's just, and again, United States also doesn't need export-oriented economy of Germany. So United States wouldn't mind, you know, Germany going down, you know, the toilet. And then, of course, that was the idea. Start selling American weapons and American whatever United States will be able to master in terms of the what is called onshore, you know, to start producing some kind of the consumer goods, including cars and things like that. Not that there are some American cars which are way better than German cars today. Okay, German cars today is a joke, over-engineered, overpriced crap. Basically, that's what they are. And so, yeah, when you look at those things in general, yeah, Germany must die. Evidently, in American mind, and Russians, well, Russians have been kind enough, and they forgave, but they never forgot. And then once the German tanks appeared in Ukraine and then in Kursk, Russians said, we had enough of this nation.
Andrei, there is a tape of Donald Trump in 2024 at CNN reported on that he threatened Moscow if Putin attacks Ukraine. Let me play it for you. And
oh God, yeah.
So Putin said, if you go in to Ukraine, we'll bomb the shit out of Moscow. I'm telling you, I have no choice. The public. So he goes like, I don't believe you. He said no way, and I said way. And then he goes like, I don't believe you, but the truth is, he believed me 10%. And I told you this, he believed me 10%. Then I'm with President Xi of China, but I said the same thing to them. I said, you know, if you go into Taiwan, I'm going to bomb the shit out of Beijing. He thought I was crazy. He said, Beijing, you're going to bomb me. I said, I have no choice. I got to bomb them. We're going to bomb Beijing. And he didn't believe me either, except 10%. And 10% is all you need. In fact, 5% would have been okay too. And we never had a problem.
He wants to bomb Beijing in Moscow, and the two leaders, the president of Russia and leader of China, were so afraid of Donald Trump.
No, they were believing it only 10%, which means he is 100% full of crap, you know. So the guy basically invented thing, because Kremlin today reacted, we never talked to Trump in any capacity before he was a president again. But he lies. That's what he does. He invented this thing to present to himself, if to admit that it is a genuine thing, which I totally believe that it's not necessarily, what they call AI. It's not AI, neural network. I saw neural networks translating my English videos into Russian with my voice. I mean, this is just like, wow, that's scary. But the point is, I believe that it did happen, and I believe that he BS'd people. That's what he does. He is, as already stated, he's a coward and he's a narcissist. He constantly has to, reinforce his ego in with such lies. And that is why Peskov today came out and said, well, it's possible that it is neural network, but we never talked to him. And he's a boy compared to Putin. He doesn't even understand who Putin is, and he doesn't understand geopolitics in general. So in this case, if you admit that this is genuine, which it could be audio from his meeting, he simply lies. That's what he does all the time. He lies and to, elevate his persona as a top guy. You know, everybody is afraid of me. The whole world laughs now their socks off of him. And he doesn't understand that he humiliates himself and the country. But what can I say? So, yeah, 10%. Why not 8.5%? I don't know why he came up with 10%. And then he goes with China and talks about 5%. So somebody had to explain to him, if he tries to bomb Moscow, United States will cease to exist as a country. So it will be wiped off the map. That's who he is. And as a result, we have this almost schizophrenic administration and a bunch of the bandits, and the guy will probably kill the rather healthy and necessary movement of MAGA. But the way he lies, and now we have the Epstein, and you know, no list, maybe because what? Because he's on there, I guess, right? So, and we have this, I mean, it's a circus. I mean, it's just unbelievable. And he lies all the time, nonstop. The only thing he cares in his life is himself.
Andrei, Elon Musk said that Donald Trump is on the list of Epstein. And
yeah.
Then he tried to back down on his claim, but it seems that that's the case. That's why he's not.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Yeah, as I already stated, I laughed and applauded when Tucker said, we need to issue formal apology to the spirit of Mr. Epstein, because evidently he's not guilty. The guy's not pedophile. He's not, you know. So, but yeah, as I already stated, if you look attentively at the Western elites today, they are pedophile central. So they are perverts, many of them. if not majority. These are people without honor, without integrity, without morality. I just want to, again, quote Marjorie Taylor Greene, one of those people with the honor. I adore her. I mean, I do not necessarily agree with all her policies, but she has, pardon my French, she has balls, okay? And she was talking to Carson, Tucker Carlson, about a couple of years ago, when she stated that if you think that an average American senator or congressman will not sell his family, wife and children, for the good, expensive dinner in Washington, D.C., I can tell you one thing, it's much worse than that. It's utter decomposition, like decomposing, like the corpse decomposes, decomposition of the American political system. And what I observed, it's much worse than what I actually expected even about 5 years ago, because we see there are things popping up, which, you cannot manage anything. The only reason this class exists is to continue their perversion and, you know, enrichment, and they don't care about us, hoi polloi, you know, so what can I say?
Andre, we had the BRICS summit and here in Brazil, in Rio de Janeiro, and they condemned the attacks on Iran and Russia. Maybe the tone was not that much, but they try to do their best. Let's put it this way. How do you find, Andre, the transformation of BRICS? Right now, Indonesia is part of BRICS. Indonesia is not a small country. It's important in terms of their economy. The population is big.
Yeah.
And everything. Malaysia.
It's the largest Muslim country in the world, actually.
Exactly. And they're so... How do you see the changes that is happening in BRICS, those changes that are happening in BRICS? Is somehow they have their differences in terms of geopolitical issues, and even the case of economy, the economic policies that they have in their countries. But after all, we are witnessing something, I would say something big, something very important for the future. They're learning. It's a learning process, the way that they're dealing with each other, the mutual understanding that is happening among these countries. Your take on that?
Oh, absolutely. I agree with you. It is it has to be a steep learning curve, because obviously when we look attentively at what is happening in the combined West, and so some structure, economic political structure has to emerge instead of the utterly corrupt United Nations and all those primarily Western-run institutes. So, yeah, that work will continue, obviously, and this is extremely important. And, what can I say? I mean, you're absolutely correct. I mean, it's an emerging global bloc, economic bloc, which makes this G7, it's irrelevant really anymore. So, and even G20. So, yeah, G20. Okay. No, there is a block which only this block can and is doing what is essentially happening. Trump is panicking that, they're killing dollar. Yes, that's what they are doing. They are killing US dollar. They could kill it tomorrow if they wanted to, but they don't. And the reason they don't, not because they have the good feelings towards the United States, albeit some do. India, certainly in some part of Indians, in Indian political class does, and you know, even some in China. No, it is because if you kill dollar like this sharply, it's going to be the economic earthquake around the globe. Nobody wants to be harmed by the fragments of the collapsing economic order of the combined West. But it is happening. And as I already stated, it started already a few years back when they started to actually make payments in their own respective currencies. And they analog of SWIFT, which is, of course, the bank exchange messages system, which allows the fast transfer of their funds, is already in place, actually. There are actually the options even between Russian and Chinese, and they can, link them together. So I believe they already did in some parts. So it's really the process, but it's ongoing, yeah. And now that we saw what happened, how Israel, experienced, what wrong strategy is. So, and they've been fighting Russia for 38 months, and Yeah, we arrived to the point that NATO has been exposed as the paper tiger, which it is. And they will remain paper tiger. Not that they will not try. They will try to do some things. But as I already stated, the gap, generational gap between weapons and obviously operational art and strategy is so gigantic now. I don't know how they can even close it, even if they start using whatever, 20% of their GDP. The problem is they don't have industrial facilities. Again, just simplest issue. In the United States cannot produce main battle tank, period. There, all those, updates for the Venerable Abrams tank, first, it's not a good tank to start with, you know? So, and they cannot produce tanks. They can't. They don't have facilities. They don't have labor force. The same goes for two days ago, even Sky News and other, even Telegraph, which is the tabloid. Everything is tabloid in the United Kingdom. They say, oh, my God, BAE Systems, they have only 1 year of fighter in the hangar. Essentially, the military-industrial complex of United Kingdom, whatever was left of it, is collapsing. They cannot put any multi-purpose submarine. They have four astute class subs. They cannot put any one of them to sea. They barely can put out one single strategic missile submarine of the Vanguard class. And did you see those submarines? I mean, it's horrible. They look like they've been, understandable. They go on patrol and they stay there. I mean, insane amount of time, up to 200 days. I don't know how they change crews. And there was this rumor that they also almost go hungry on board. And it's like, are you kidding me? And that's what is happening. Same goes for the United States. They cannot produce the freaking frigate. With the Fincantieri tried to build this based on the European FRAM, which is still obsolete system, compared to the modern trends in the naval warfare and the new generation of weapons being procured there. They can't. It's delayed now by 3 years. 3 years they delayed this frigate, which already have been delaying for some time. And now they don't even know what the final design will look like because, I mean, they tried to improve it or whatever they thought, as they went without even having final design. How the hell can you build a Navy like this? They can't. And then, of course, yeah, you're looking at the working class, American working class, people who had those skills, those brains to go out and weld, cut, create things, they're not there anymore. They have been reduced to the white trash. They have been, assaulted by the opioids, by drugs, by the ideology, cretinistic culture. And there you go. And the jobs have been shipped even to Mexico. On elsewhere, and then suddenly, where's this American working class which can do things? And nowhere to be found. They have issues with the recruiting of their real serious, professional people. They have issues with drugs. You cannot put anybody who does drugs or smokes pot on the manufacturing floor. You just can't. They will kill themselves. Or if they kill themselves, it's all right. They may kill somebody else. This is a serious machinery. Okay, and it tends to go out of order once in a while, or even all those magnificent CNC, centers, machining centers and things like that. It's all rotates, it's all cuts, it's all drills, it's all, and it is really serious. Powers involved there, electric and mechanical and things like that. And then that's what we have now. And as the result, what can I say? They can pretend whatever they want, but they lost the arms race. And they lost the arms race by a gigantic margin.
Andrei, do we know how much of these arm production within NATO comes from the United States and what percentage they get from European countries? Do we have any sort of image on that?
You can take a look, and it requires a little bit, half a day basically running through the open source, doing the open source intelligence. It's from the publications and other analytical things. And again, there is always the wonderful government accountability office in the United States. And of course, there is always Congress Research Center. So they provide also sometimes good overview. And the question is that the idea was always from the get-go to destroy European industry and then shove down their throats, as it's already happening, this, you know, American expensive junk. Take a look at the fate of F-35s. So this is what they are buying. It's a garbage plane. I mean, let be frank, you know. So it they try to improve it for the last 20 years, evidently. And the question is that, yeah, eventually F-35 will substitute, as I just spoke to you, all those Eurofighters. They are good planes, Eurofighters, for example. This is a good fighter plane. It's not really anymore. It's nearing obsolescence because it's not ready to fight the modern air-to-air battle, let alone operate in the serious air defense environment. But still, it's still better than, you know, all this stealth, which is grossly overrated. And so as a result, we have Dutch, Netherlands, which is completely going for F-35. Germany is buying F-35s. Well, guess what? United Kingdom is buying F-35s. What will Italy do? Buy F-35s. So who's left? Well, France with Rafales. France cannot produce them like they have, oh God, it's a pathetic number. I believe altogether they have 92 of them, okay, which they produce over the span of time. Some of them are in hangar because they are used also as their, you know, spare parts. And that's about it. Yeah, they shove those things. They will shove those Patriot Pac-3s under all kinds of the ideologic updates, which will change absolutely nothing. It will suck as it sucked before. And so, but this is what is happening. I already gave example one. Many people do not understand. Spaniards. Oh, we are proud Spaniards. We have Alvaro de Bazan. Look at our frigates. Alvaro de Bazan, you know, we produce our frigates. No, you don't. You're doing the Merrily Hull. Guess what is the feeling of those Alvaro de Bazan ships? Everything. Aegis combat management system, a Spy 1D radar. Who? Raytheon, guys. You know, so what is your sonar system? Raytheon. So, and you go, oh, what do you have? Oh, we have MK-31 vertical launch system. What are they? Oh, it's American one. And you just go over this like, yeah, sure. Pretend that you produce it. You don't. You know, they have their own pathetic defense system like the German IRIS-T or SMPT by French, which sucks majorly. You know, so NASAMS, you know, so what do you expect? It's Europe will become, which it was the idea from the get-go, the market for American weapons. Somebody in the United States and the military industrial complex and all those Lockheed Martins and all those Raytheons and the Boeings, they love their golf clubs. They want to drive sports cars. Hello, you know, they want to maintain their lifestyle. How do you do it? Yeah, you do this BS and you sell this garbage without really straining yourself to producing something which can actually operate. United States never produced, with the exception of some, obviously, submarine. The submarine fleet on the United States is world class, always was. So, and there were obviously the Navy, but other than that, the rest of it, I'm sorry. And even naval system, they suck today, you know. So, that's what is going to be. And Europe has to prepare. And yes, as the trade unions 2 days ago, as I already stated, in BAE systems, they're complaining, they're outraged that British jobs are going away. Of course they will. That was the idea. You should basically be fat, stupid, consume all kinds of the garbage food, be very obedient, you know, under the whip of your, you know, big brother, and you will buy most what America can provide to you. So America will decide to live better than Europe. And you know what, from the formal, amoral point of view, it's natural, kind of, you know, nothing you can do, everybody for themselves, you know. So, and if Europe thought that all those, exercise those idiotic ideas of the Western unity, well, I have a bridge to sell them.
Andre, Donald Trump, I want to play a clip of Donald Trump talking about the sanction. He wants to put more sanctions on Russia. But before getting to that point, he said something that I would be curious about. That what does he want from this sort of argument? What does he want from Vladimir Putin that so far he didn't get it from him? Here is what he said, Andrei.
bullshit thrown at us by Putin, for you want to know the truth. It's very nice all the time, but it turns out to be meaningless.
Do you want to sanction him? Lindsey Graham has a sanctions bill on Russia. Do you want him to move
that? I'm looking at it, yeah. No, I'm looking. The Senate is passing and passed a very, very tough sanctions bill. Yeah, I'm looking at it.
And you'd sign that?
It's an optional bill. It's totally at my option. They pass it totally at my option and to terminate totally at my option. And I'm looking at it very strongly.
Yesterday you said you want to
sanction. Finally, we're ending up with Lindsey Graham.
Oh, good Lord.
The same guy with the Biden administration right now. But what does he want, Andre, from Vladimir Putin? I don't see any...
He doesn't... Story. Yeah, let's state from the get-go. He understands nothing about Russia. Vladimir Putin, for him, is a complete... he pretends that he knows. He doesn't. He is talking with the graduate of the higher school of KGB and then the Andropov Institute. The guy won't even understand that CIA is looked at there as they're, you know, just amateurs, you know. So he's talking about for the professional intelligence officer who went through hell, of which Trump can only, he has no concept. And he's the president of Russia, and he's the president of the nuclear superpower and military superpower and massive economy. But he doesn't understand it. He doesn't understand the nature of the conflict. He is ignorant. Okay, and in this case, describing anything, as I already stated, do we have to continue to essentially, you know, comment on somebody who is schizophrenic? You can't compare. He has triple Trumps living in his head, you know, and again, we have just different iteration of Joe Biden, with the exception that he can walk himself and he can string together several, you know, phrases. The guy doesn't understand what he's dealing with. I'm on record. United States elites do not understand. They are ignorant. They are highly uncultured. They don't have class. And as a result, they believe all this kind of the BS. And essentially commenting on this is like, dude, Russia outproduces, in terms of all military output, several times what the whole NATO, US included, combined. And then, of course, in terms of smart and high precision weapons, Russia outproduces the whole NATO combined by the order of magnitude. It's times 10, you know, and maybe 15, actually, you know. And so somebody, he will not understand. That's the problem. You come to him and you have to break into his alternative universe where he is the, you know, the emperor of the galaxy, you know, and he runs the whole thing there, including the massive black hole in the center of the galaxy. And he thinks like that. And I'm not being facetious or exaggerating. The guy really think that he runs the world affairs. While in reality, it's, you know, you cannot break through him. He is almost 79 years old. He is rigid and not very bright. He doesn't have class. He is a showman and a New York real estate shyster. And he went to talk to people who graduated academies, you know, highest level academies in the, you know, intelligence and military. So can you, it's like explaining me now getting 5 year old kid and trying to explain to him what the main theorems of calculus, you know, Newton, Leibniz, and what, and the kid will be looking at me, not believing that, oh yeah, it's BS, you know, I will go to play with my toys. And that's what he does. That's toys. Did you see his parade? That's the answer. This is the answer. And he believed it was grand. The world laughed at it. And as I already stated, United States Army shouldn't have been humiliated like this, especially considering that indeed, you know, those guys could have been marching on the May 9th in the Red Square as the allies, you know, and brothers in arms, you know, and that would have been an appropriate way to. But humiliate your army like this, you have to be, and believing that it was grand, it was awesome. So that tells you everything. He is New York real estate shyster. And for stalling, obviously, there will be a bunch of the creeps who go out. But you voted for it. Yeah. We voted against the World War III. Because if you would have this cackling idiot, you know, with the, you know, hand of Sullivan and Blinken up your butt, you know, who would be controlling her, those cretins would have unleashed World War III. And that would end up with the nuclear exchange, and we all would have been dead. So in this case, we got one up. But yes, we get a kindergarten child, basically, who is completely delusional. And that's what it is. Look at the main traits of the narcissism. It's not just psychological issue. It's bordering on the mental illness. It's bordering on the mental, and maybe he is, as already stated. Larry yesterday wrote that, you know, that it's schizophrenic, essentially, behavior. Because his bubble, it begins to encounter all those, you know, brick walls. And it's either need to, you know, what, collapse, or he will continue to live in the idiotic state of mind. And yeah, now we know that Hexet himself paused, you know, those deliveries when he understood that United States practically ran out of the missiles. So there you go.
Andrei, on the part of Russians, do you feel that in a long run, how do they see the United States? Even we saw the Biden administration, Trump administration right now, they're trying, they talk all these things. They had some sort of rhetoric before coming to power. We're going to put an end to the convoy in 24 hours. He said that. I said it sarcastically, then I didn't mean it. And all of these changes that but after all, when it comes to Russia and their point of view toward the United States, how do they see the United States? How do they see the different administrations coming to power and experiencing and practicing the same thing?
Russian population actually has a very good deal of admiration for Americans, regular Americans. And there was people have to understand, alike with Europeans, and Russians are different from Europeans in many in outlook on life. But with Americans, you know, it's the vastness of countries, it's the vastness of the resources and things like that. So there is a kind of, you know, almost metaphysical type you know, sympathy. But in terms of Washington, D.C., Russians hate it. They know this, war criminals primarily, you know, Russians have, unlike Americans, Russians are extremely sophisticated in terms of the foreign policy on average, okay? They know the events, they know how it goes, which comes naturally with the territory and the history of wars. And so, but in terms of Washington, D.C. and administrations, Russians, I mean, abhor them, you know. They see who those people are. They are extremely well informed about the goings. And there's no love laws there. They just absolutely abhor them. Yes, pedophile center, war criminals, you know, just downright, you know, genocidal imperialists. So that's how they look at it. And that's pretty much their attitude.
Before wrapping up, Andrei, the main goal, in your opinion, of Russia for the future of BRICS, they were talking about the new system, the SWIFT system, something like SWIFT, something to get rid of the American financial system, because we know that Russia is under the sanctions of the United States in terms of using SWIFT. Iran is under the same sort of sanctions. And this could be the future for China as well. It's not far away, I think.
Oh, it's already arrived to China. Many people do not understand. I elaborated on this. This is, it's not about all those statements. Guess what? China was denied now the critical thing for them, which is the LEAP engine, the jet engine, which they wanted to put on there. Well, they call it Chinese. It's really not Chinese. It's all Western-made aircraft, Comac 919. And it was powered by Safran, which is French, you know, and General Electric. Excellent engines, LEAP engines. Well, guess what? China is not getting them anymore. And you cannot remotorize the plane, which was essentially done with their, you know, their, it's pretty much 90% Western, everything from avionics to jet to fuel system to auxiliary power unit and things of this nature. So, and there you go, it's already in, and China is not getting this. And then suddenly it had they contracted, it's the plane, commercial plane, primarily for internal consumption. They thought that they can export it. They can't, as you understand, if United States, because if the plane contains more than, I don't remember, 20% of the import parts, you cannot, that plane contains 90% of the import parts. It's essentially Airbus and Boeing joint venture kind of thing, you know? So, and that's the problem for them. And that's just the start. Things will go this way eventually, even more and more and more, until they will try to sanction China into oblivion. But again, China is too huge economically, so it's not easy to do, if possible at all, considering the fact that, again, China is an economic monster, okay? But there are critical things, like the situation with the COMAC 919, which is now stopped in its tracks, you know, because China has no real competitive engine. And even if it does, you still have to remove pretty much most of the Western systems from the aircraft. Russians went this way. They have excellent experience with that, because they're flying now fully Russian MS-21, Sukhoi Superjet, and, you know, Tu-214 is back into serial production. So it's just the way it is. And something else could be, you know, stopped in their tracks. And that's what the United States is doing, and it will continue to do it, you know. So trying to kind of, you know, convince China that it needs to kind of follow within the wake of the American policies. But reality is, the main enemy of the combined West is Russia. It is the only country which consistently beat the crap out of the combined West, and they just cannot live with that, you know. So again, if we look at the latest in terms of the historical terms, 1812, Napoleon invasion, dozen of the nations, dozen of the languages, as Tolstoy stated, greatest army in the history at that point, went into Russia with almost 700,000, ended up barely having 20,000 leaving Russia. Napoleon escaped, of course, and abandoned his army. So, and then we have what? Even in World War One, Russia wasn't the loser in the World War One. The greatest offensive operation, which actually changed the strategy and the balance of power, was Brusilov's breakthrough. Many people, buffs know, but reality is obviously nobody talks about it properly. And it was the real breakthrough. They just absolutely mauled the German, Austrian, and Austrian-Hungarian and other troops. And then, of course, World War II. And now they went again, and they plan to go further, but again, they have to understand Berlin or Hamburg or Paris do not have any real cultural value for Russians anymore, because Russians now basically cut all the ties with the West. Culturally, most importantly, Russia is not the West as it exists today. Russia is completely different West. And as always, was the case, the decomposing West tries to, you know, pretend that it can do something. It can't. Russia can turn actually whole Europe into the parking lot if it desires. And then United States, if it, you know. But yeah, they have to maneuver somehow to try to extricate themselves from the conundrum. But with the Trump administration, no, they cannot do that.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Andre, for being with us today. Great pleasure as always.
My pleasure. Anytime.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.